You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
And we are rolling along on a Thursday football tonight, but we got to talk about the baseball team here in Houston that's been doing so well, the Houston Astros. Maybe not a big feat to sweep the Detroit Tigers, but it's always nice to get a couple dubs. They play the Oakland Athletics today at Minute Maid Park. That game will start at 6:20 p.m. But yesterday, the 2-1 win was not that big of a topic of conversation. The bigger conversation was Yordan Alvarez and the health of his hand. Let me set the scene for you all in case you did not follow this on social media. Yordan Alvarez's hand has been a topic of conversation. It's the reason he's been out of the lineup twice this year, if I'm not mistaken. Two different stints with quote-unquote hand discomfort. So before the game, Dusty Baker was asked if Yordan was out of the lineup due to a routine off day or something else. Baker went out of his way to say that it was not, in fact, a routine off day for Yordan. He said, I'm trying to find the quote. He's sore a little bit. Check swings and misses, same thing. I think it's better that we don't make it more sore than it already is. He's going to have to live with it for a while. You know what I mean? And I don't know what hand it is. So there was a little bit of a sigh among Astros Nation because this is an issue that Yordan has had. And as you've highlighted, he's been great over the last couple of days.
Yeah.
After the game, Chandler Rome, who is on the road with the Astros covering them for the Houston Chronicle, tweeted, Yordan Alvarez requested to speak with the media after the game and said through an interpreter that his hands are not sore and that he is fine to play. He was available off the bench today and was under the impression it was a scheduled off day. So you have Yordan Alvarez saying, my hand is not sore. You have Dusty Baker not only saying his hand is sore, but that he's going to have to deal with this for a while. What's going on here?
Who is Pepe Silvia?
What's the miscommunication, and where do you think the genesis of this is?
I don't know, but Dusty Baker not knowing what hand his best player has injured right now is something. Is it concerning? Is it alarming? Is it par for the course? Might be par for the course.
Well, does he actually not know, or are the Astros trying to keep injuries private?
I don't know.
Is there even an injury? Because Yordan says there's no injury.
But he said he's sore. Dusty said he's sore. Yordan says there's no injury. Dusty says, I don't know what hand it is. I can't get over the fact that he says, I don't know what hand Yordan has hurt. What?
Yeah,
what's
I don't know.
Happening? Come on. This is basic communication stuff, one-on-one. And if you're trying to properly manage Yordan Alvarez before the playoffs begin, you got to know, at the very least, that. If Yordan's speaking otherwise, is there a disconnect between the two? It's a very strange development. I'm sure we'll find out more about it before today's game.
Well, there'll be a media availability around 3:30-ish.
Right.
So, A, first of all, we'll see if Yordan's in the lineup. That'll come first. And then second of all, Dusty Baker will meet with the media if all is normal at Minute Maid Park today, 3:34-ish. So we should know, and I assume Chandler and all of the journalists are going to be down there like Brian McTaggart asking him, hey, what's the bottom line? Is his hand sore or not? It's interesting. This is not something we usually see where a player and a manager are disagreeing about something that you think would be concrete.
Also, yeah, the player's the one who says this, right? Don't you believe the player? How does Dusty Baker know what Yordan's feeling in his hand unless he's an empath? Have you ever heard of people talk about being an empath online? Hi, Vanessa?
I've heard empath and highly sensitive person.
Every now and then, I can tell when you're not feeling your best. And I feel it here in my heart. Every now and then. Just not all the time, but
have you heard extroverted introvert or introverted extrovert?
Introverted extrovert.
I'm like, in other words, you're normal.
I think that everyone that says they're an introverted extrovert, though, is full of it. They're just like, yeah.
That's what I mean.
I just don't want to wear clothes and sit on my couch. I just want to lie in my
PJs.
But
then sometimes I like talking to people.
Weed.
Wow, weird.
Yeah, it's like sometimes I like going out. Sometimes I like watching Netflix. I guess I'm an introverted extrovert. It's like, sounds like you're just a guy.
Sounds like you're a normal
like,
person.
It just sounds like you're a person.
And with empath, you taking on other people's feelings, yeah. Like,
again, I carry that burden
you're
with
not
me.
A sociopath.
Right,
congrats.
Thank you.
Nah,
you're not like Paul.
No, you don't get it. I'm an Aries, okay? And I carry that with me.
Also, while we're talking about this, the whole, oh, I just have main character syndrome. It's like, you sound like someone no one would ever want to be around. Like, you
right.
sound like the worst person in the world. Like, I just think the world revolves around me. Isn't that so endearing?
I have main character
like, no.
energy, right? Main character. Okay, yeah. You can have that on your birthday and then shut up.
I have main character energy in that I just don't listen to anybody, as you guys know.
You actually...
You have NPC energy. Treat everyone like they're just like not even there.
Yeah. What's NPC?
No, that's main character energy. Main character. You guys have non-NPC energy because like I am the star, you know, of this world, this universe we live in.
NPCs are just people in video games that are just like there. Like, they don't, you can't play as them. They don't do anything.
No,
they just are there just
to
build
out the world.
No, because if you had main character injury,
I
keep saying injury. If you had main character energy, you would cry when you lost Twitter followers. Oh, wait.
I did.
I did. I know. I did. That's the joke.
15,300
followers
now. Yeah, kill me. Yeah. It's all over. Vanessa.
This guy with his Anna Delvey accent, I cannot. Nah. Martin Maldonado, by the way, debuted a new hairstyle. I don't know how to describe it other than it's like, he went from having a mohawk to having like two mohawks-ish on
the
side
of
his head.
He looked like Rugatu.
Yeah, here's Lance McCullers Jr. on the catcher's new hair.
What was the inspiration with this hair right here? What are you thinking? Something new? That's it? Or is it going to stay around or just for a day?
God, I hope so. It was bad. But it was very funny.
I like it.
And you know what? It's the perfect thing to do when you're in Detroit and you know you're going to win and you just want to have fun.
God, the Tigers suck. I mean, that really is so true.
I think Maldi's onto something. The mohawk with the middle part in the middle of the mohawk.
Guys,
it's interesting.
Have you seen Zoolander?
Oh, I love Zoolander. Okay. He looks like Will Ferrell's character.
Again, yesterday, you guys didn't know what an N64 was, so I'm just kind of questioning everything that you guys know because you're both 5 years old.
We didn't know what obsolete technology is.
Right.
Yeah,
sorry. You don't know about the toy from 1996?
He looks like Will Ferrell's character, Mugatu, in the movie Zoolander.
Blue Steel.
He's so hot right now. I mean, his hair looks like two boobs on top of his head.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're being perfectly honest here, there's two boobs up there.
Pointy. Pointy.
Yeah, perky
they're
ones, I guess.
Yeah.
They're bolt-ons.
All right, let's get weird.
He's got bolt-ons on his head, but
let's
it's
do a Yankees watch. Yankees watch 2022 on deck now.
Yankees watch.
Yankees!
2022.
No mohawks with the Yankees. Can't even have a beard.
No, we don't do that up there. We don't do that. Hey,
forget about it.
You guys hear about Aaron Judge? Start spreading the news. We've won 8 of the last 10, okay? And look, I know I haven't always had the best of luck with Judge. It's because, like, the time that I got the restraining order against Sophia. But Aaron Judge, 56, 57, Yabos for the year, okay? He's going to break the record held by Roger Maris, one of the greatest players of all time. Probably better than any Houston Astro who's ever played. So look, think about this. Just take a look in your rearview mirror. Ooh, we're 6 games ahead of the Bronx Bombers. Ooh, we're special. 27 rings. We've won 8 of 10. We're just 6 games back. You watch your back. You see what we just did?
Oh.
Took 2 from the Red Sox. See what we did before that? Took 2 or 3 from the Rays. See what we did before that? Took out the Twins. Just saying.
This might be the best accent he's had. It's a little deeper. It's a little less obnoxious, but it sounds more accurate.
You kind of have to
Do you feel the same,
it.
Sean?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out who from Goodfellas he sounds like. And he sounds like one of them.
Yeah.
But I don't know which one. A little bit of Pauly, but not quite there.
It's not high enough to be Pauly.
Yeah.
Pauly is...
Actually, it's more like, what's his face? Rico Brazzi from Godfather.
Oh.
No. Luca Brazzi.
There you go.
And Pauly is the actual boss. In Goodfellas.
Yes.
So were you referring to Tommy in Goodfellas?
I've only seen it once.
That's the one that played by Joe Pesci. He's got the high-pitched voice.
Pesci is super high.
Joe Pesci's too tight. Yeah, too high.
Gotcha.
But that was our Yankees watch. Yeah, interesting to see how these standings evolve. But one thing's for sure. I feel pretty good about the Astros. Don't feel great about Molly's hair, but I feel good about the Astros heading into playoff time. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we check in with the neighbors, the New Orleans Saints and the Dallas Cowboys, plus some possible SEC news. That's next.
Your home for sports. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Let's check in on our football neighbors with Vanessa and Gallant.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day.
I loved this show growing up. Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
So it still was around when you were growing
yes,
up?
Yes, it still was around. I mean, obviously it was, I believe, reruns. Like, you know, my question, my thought is that they were not new episodes, but rest in peace to a real one. He just wanted kindness for the world. He did.
Legitimately a great dude.
Yeah, yeah, somebody that you don't ever hear any Tom Brady, Giselle type stuff about him.
Yeah, people are going to be bad, Mr. Rogers. Why are you trying to make the world better?
You're taking Paul's place.
Yeah, it's over. Don't be like Giselle.
You lost, Mr. Rogers.
But we are checking in with the neighbors, and by that we mean the Dallas Cowboys. We know we have tons of fans, Dallas Cowboys fans near us, and then as well as some New Orleans Saints fans in the area as well. Let's start with the Saints. The Saints are playing Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but Jameis Winston, who is always known to have some fun quotes here or there, garnered some headlines for said fun quotes. Let's talk about these before we get into the details of this game against the Bucks. This was Jameis on his visit to the medical tent.
Where was the pain, Jameis?
Yeah, just pain. It was pain everywhere. So we got to keep on pushing through and being resilient.
That's the mentality you got to have.
Shannon spake with the question, where was the pain? He didn't really answer it. He just said pain, pain everywhere.
I really want Jameis Winston to teach a active lifestyle class to become one of those influencers. You see his workouts, right? Where he's doing some of the most preposterously weird workouts you'll ever see.
He is a weird workout
he's
guy.
He's like dropping back to pass while sitting on one of those inflatable
medicine balls. The yoga ball.
Yoga ball, yes, thank you. That's what I was trying to go back and forth between. You'll see him doing these weird things where he's dropping back to pass with like bungee cords and people are trying to hit him with brooms. He does all sorts
I forgot about the brooms.
Weird workouts. I mean, it all blends together. There's been so many weird workouts that whoever his trainer is has posted.
And it's always the top health people that like quote tweeted and say, just FYI, do not do this. Like it's like the top trainers in America that are like, hey, this is a very, very bad idea.
He also, this was.
Hold on. Are we taught the next soundbite?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
We're not ready for that yet.
Okay.
You'll have the top trainers in America that are talking about how some of these things are unsafe, and it's the complete opposite of, like, you see Deshaun, that's probably a bad example, but other players that train in, like, more conventional ways.
Yeah.
Medicine balls, whatnot.
Yeah, Russell Wilson, at least, like, when his fingers hurt, he still goes through like a regular warm up just without throwing a ball. Like he visualizes how to run a 2 minute off. Jameis Winston's trainer like was a CrossFit guy who like had a head injury or something. Like, and he's just like mixing all these weird things together. And yeah, I'm worried that Jameis Winston's going to get seriously injured in one of these workouts because none of this seems legitimate in any way.
But
it works.
He was talking about, he did talk about his body. You and I, Sean, didn't think this was as bad, but people thought this was funny too. Here's Jameis on human anatomy.
I need to work my ankles. And you got certain things that we're all like, our body is so symmetrical. Right, you got your wrists, you know, and then what are your wrists on the bottom half? Your ankles, you know, you got your shoulders up top. What are your shoulders? Your hips, you know what I'm saying? You got your elbows. What are your elbows? Your knees, right? Like, so it's symmetrical and you just got to work different parts.
I mean,
that makes 100% sense.
What doesn't make sense?
Right. I actually think that makes sense.
Your arms and legs are completely different.
No, they're not.
They're completely different.
Yeah. They're all limbs.
They're
four
completely
limbs.
Different.
See, I thought that was a quote that actually, like, kind of made sense as far as anatomy and balancing. But the way, so do you think it's the way he said it then?
Nothing he says makes sense. He's not a smart man.
Paul, right now, bend your arm for me.
Yes.
Can you bend your leg for me?
Can you bend your knee in that exact same way? No. You can pull your arm to you. You can put your knee behind you. You can't, they are not symmetrical. They are totally different.
But the mechanism is the same. It is.
No, it's okay. So, Professor Mapes, do you have Google pulled up?
No, oh well, I don't know. I was going off the dome.
That I know,
be more
but I know, but
this is YouTube
Google
anatomy. Let's talk about flat Earth next.
Do like body symmetry? I think what he
body
said was onto
symmetry.
Something. But
no, he's not. He's not a smart person.
The Saints do take on the Bucks.
He went to Florida State University.
Yes,
I'll have you
exactly.
Know.
Yeah. Hey, and he didn't do
he
so
eats
hot
his
there.
I will say one of the grossest things I've ever seen. What, do you remember when he licked his hands and did the dubs?
Yeah,
that was not.
Go eat some dubs.
I was not a fan of eating the dubs.
Yeah, he's not an inspirational speaker, right? He's just a scientist.
I will say this. The first time I saw him on the Bucks season of Hard Knocks, the first episode, I was like, you know what? I could buy into playing for this guy. Then the second episode happened, and I said, my bad. I'm out.
People's reactions, his teammates' reactions, are the better part.
They seem to like him, and that's all that matters at the end of the day.
But like, if you watch the Eat the Dub video and you look at their faces, like that's an underrated part of it.
He is impossibly goofy, and his personality could not be more like the way he plays, which is just like an absolute crazy person. And by the way, I mean, I think he's a plus quarterback. He's not a quarterback I'd want because
he's an interception machine. Yeah,
but. Listening to him explain anything. It's like the worst deep abysses of
where's
YouTube.
He from? Is he from Miss?
I think he's from Alabama.
Alabama. Okay. Well, yeah. I mean.
What does that mean?
I want you to elaborate.
You went from Alabama to Tallahassee, Florida.
From Terre Haute, Indiana. So Alabama, do I have any room to talk from the meth capital of the America? Probably not. Okay, so he is playing your Lord and Savior, Tom Brady. Bucks versus Saints this weekend. Thoughts, predictions on that game?
Well, for what it's worth, I mean, the Saints receivers looked pretty damn good. I forgot Michael Thomas was as good as he used to be. And I don't know if this was like a blow everybody away kind of game by Michael Thomas, but he did have a couple of nice touchdown receptions in this one. And in the second half, it felt like he and Jameis Winston were developing a rapport. And I'm not going to lie, I thought Jarvis Landry was dead. And Jarvis Landry, with New Orleans, I mean, he had 100-plus yards receiving, and Winston was throwing to him regularly. They have good skill players around him, and that defense has done a very good job against Tom Brady in the past. I'm imagining this is going to be a close game yet again. I have a harder time imagining Dennis Allen beating Tom Brady. Dennis Allen, as a head coach particularly, beating Tom Brady, not as a defensive coordinator, then I can see, you know, like Sean Payton potentially with right. Dennis Allen as a defensive coordinator or something like that. So I feel like the Saints will keep it close. I think that the Bucks finally break this weird streak where New Orleans continuously owns
what
them.
Is the streak? Do you have it pulled up?
They're 4-0 against them in the regular season. Okay. They're 0-1 against the Bucks in the playoffs. New Orleans is.
I have something from Orthopedic One. The hip and shoulder are both ball and socket joints that have cartilage, ligaments, labrum, and surrounding capsule.
Stop. There you go.
Please stop.
That's what Jameis Winston was saying.
No, some anatomy needed on Dak anymore. Prescott and his thumb and his hand after he's injured, but Mike McCarthy sounds super confident in their backup quarterback. We will see Cooper Rush play under center for a few weeks.
Another good question. You know, when you have a chance to go through one experience, you know, with your quarterback and Cooper showed us a lot that day, you know, but the other part of it is we work every day with Cooper. So he's coach smart. He's got a great disposition for the number two. You know, there's so much to love about Cooper. So, but most importantly, he just needs to get in there, run the offense, you know, so I'll try to do too much and, you know, and we got to stay aggressive and open the things up.
So much to love about him that they cut him so that they could bring him back onto the practice squad before the start of the season and have two active quarterbacks.
Is this a guy that knows he's getting fired if this year doesn't work out?
I bet he knew he's getting fired as soon as he found out on the sideline that Dak got hurt. I mean, you saw his reaction to it.
It's a great point.
He was like, ah, damn it.
And that honestly, wasn't just losing the quarterback, you're saying. It was him, like, realizing.
But by the way, you know, you had me thinking about this before we heard from Mike McCarthy. Imagine if Jameis Winston and Jerry Jones did a podcast
incredible.
Talking about health.
It's incredible.
I mean, Jerry Jones is like talking about a wrist injury and how Dak Prescott's going to be for sure back in 4 weeks when we literally just saw last year with Russell Wilson going through something I imagine similar, how that's not the worst thing you could do. You want to give that as much time as you can? Oh, boy.
Yeah, oh boy is right. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we do have some SEC possible news we're going to talk about, plus a new segment we're introducing. Positive Paul. Can Paul stay positive? You'll find out on the other side. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Do you like the free stuff? I like the free stuff. And guess what? Right now, we're giving away a pair of tickets to see UH try to bounce back after a loss to Texas Tech against undefeated Kansas on Saturday. Caller number 3-713-780-3776. 713-780 ESPN. You're getting free tickets to see this future Big 12 matchup. Again, caller number 3, UH, Kansas. You can also call 713-GO-COUGS. Go to uhcougars.com/tickets to buy tickets. Come early, be loud, and wear red. By the way, the Cougs gave us some,
shout out
some
to the gear Cougs
today. So hell yeah.
Cool. All right, some possible news from the SEC. Pete Thamel. The SEC has directed Georgia and Tennessee to not play their home-and-home non-conference series against Oklahoma. The Bulldogs had Oklahoma scheduled in 23-31. The Vols 2020 game in Norman was canceled amid COVID. The other UTOU game was slated for Knoxville in 2024. You brought up an interesting question with this, Paul.
I saw this and I thought to myself, there's got to be a world where Texas and Oklahoma force their way into the SEC more quickly than waiting a couple of years.
Because it's scheduled
awkward
for 24, right?
Yes. Georgia was scheduled to play Oklahoma next year. Tennessee and Oklahoma were scheduled to play 2024. Now, this could just be something that's being done at behest of the SEC before play begins, and maybe they're thinking to themselves, like, we want to really make people, like, understand what they're missing out in the SEC, the teams that didn't join us in the Big 12. But far more likely, they are going to find a way, UT and Oklahoma, to ditch the Big 12 before 2025.
Right. I mean, 2025, that's like three seasons.
It's 2 years from now, and it's just awkwardly hanging over the room
but
like a stale
fart. But
does
the TV deal complicate it? The TV deals are what I think held them back.
I don't think it complicates it for two programs that have a lot of money. And I feel like Texas would even potentially pay whatever Oklahoma might theoretically owe to move to the SEC as quickly as possible. Especially after Texas looked the way that they did this past Saturday against Alabama. I bet Texas is like, let's get in now. Let's just move right into the conference. Let's stop wasting time. Every year that both of those schools are out of the SEC is theoretically a year where they lose ground because they're not getting all of the money that the SEC makes on an annual basis. And also, there will be some players who see themselves playing in college for 1 year, 2 years, thinking to themselves, do I really want to play in the Big 12 where I'm not going to get the best possible chance to go from college football to the pros that I would in the SEC? It's not to say the Big 12 is a bad conference by any means. I'm just speaking the reality of the situation. The SEC is the best football conference that there is, and I think a lot of players would prefer to have a chance to go play in that conference and make big-time money on Sundays, and it seems like that's generally where guys are coming from these days, that or Ohio State.
Well, NIL is huge. I mean, I don't have to tell anybody that. That's another angle of where players want to go, how long they want to stay, that I think has been really, really fascinating as well. All right, we're starting a new segment on Vanessa and Gallant. Paul is known to be, shall we say, a little cynical?
I like skeptical better.
Skeptical better than cynical.
I don't think I'm that negative, but
Now, here's the thing, buddy. Your word, not mine. I never said negative.
Okay.
I said cynical.
Some people have called me negative. I actually...
How dare they?
Stop.
A man who has a segment called Panic Man might look at glass half empty a little bit.
Well, I mean, sometimes you got to panic. Sometimes you got to yell about a problem to get it fixed.
So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to say a statement that I actually feel positive about.
Oh, no.
And then how do we want to do this? Do you want to try to remain positive?
I'll try to remain positive.
Okay, great. All right, here's positive Paul.
This is my therapy.
I think I'll go for a walk.
Oh, great.
Now. The summer sun's calling my name. I hear you now.
Positive Paul thinks this song is a banger.
There you go. There, we're off to a good start.
All right, one for one.
All right, I think the Texans have a shot this weekend against Denver. I think they have a good shot against Denver.
A good shot.
Yes, I think they have a good shot against Denver. I liked what I saw from Davis Mills. I don't know if I believe that fully, by the way, but just go with it.
Well, in the second quarter and third quarter...
It's hard already.
When he wasn't throwing the ball over receivers' heads on the sideline, he was good. Now, I mean, he did that a lot.
I don't know that the Denver crowd is that fired up. I think the Texans fans are going to show up in full force and the Texans are going to get the dub.
Well, it's not football time in Houston. It's football time in... I mean, positive Paul, flights from Houston to Denver are actually rather affordable. Okay, so maybe, yeah, Texans fans, I could see some showing up. Are they going to help Davis Mills not piss his pants? I don't know. I mean, wait.
I heard negative, Paul.
Okay.
I like what I saw from Davis Mills week one. Although there was some inconsistency, I think Davis Mills could possibly be the future of this franchise.
There's 16 more games. So there's lots of things that we could find out. Did I lose on that one?
Yeah, that was rough.
Whenever you just go, a lot of football left.
I mean, that's positive. He could change
my
mind.
It's
all right, next subject with a very positive Vanessa.
Oh, God.
After their competition against Alabama, Roll Tide, I think Texas Longhorns football is officially back.
I actually can get with that.
There you go.
I actually can get with that. Sean Mavis. See, Sean Mavis is being the negative one right now, shaking your head. Yeah, you're not going to change my mind here. They played well with their starting quarterback getting hurt. And the biggest difference is this team that, like, for decades can't even bleeping tackle was great on defense. Like, that's kind of been forgotten with all the bad calls and the quarterback injury. Like, their defense played great against an awesome Alabama team that maybe isn't as loaded as they've been in years past at wide receiver, but still damn good team.
Do it for a full season.
Yeah. Well, you're the UT alum.
I have higher hopes for the flagship University of Texas.
All right, next topic. The Astros will get their hitting together, their pitchers will remain healthy, and they will win the World Series.
I do feel pretty good about that. I mean, I think they're going to win the American League, that's for sure.
But I think they're going to win the entire World Series.
Well, I just have a hard time imagining that the offense is going to be consistently enough. But you know what? Against the Detroit Tigers, except for yesterday, they showed a lot of offense.
In a matchup against the Yankees or the Dodgers or the Mariners, the Astros will dominate.
I mean, I can't do that.
There you go.
Oh, come on. They've done it before.
Sound the buzzer.
They have not dominated the Dodgers. What are you talking about?
They
no.
1-0. 1-0. Mm. Lifetime.
Fair enough.
Doesn't matter, Brian. AFC.
Doesn't matter, Paul. World Series champions, Paul.
No, they did not. They did not dominate the Dodgers. Mariners.
Sound the buzzer. He got negative.
Okay.
As the weather gets a little bit cooler in Houston, especially into the month of October, I can't wait to see bicyclists out on the road, enjoying their rides, soaking in nature, and taking in the gorgeous fall weather in Houston.
Bleep you. You're awful. You're one of those critical mass terrorists, aren't you? I got nothing for that. There's no. Stay off my road. It's my road. It's my house. I'm driving my Nissan aggressively. George Comet, get on the sidewalk, bleepholes. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I am being positive. I'm standing up for Houston. Like I'm KHOU.
Yeah, there you go. All right, one more. This one will be the Houston Cougars. I think the Houston Cougars will dominate once they move to the Big 12 under the leadership of Dana Holgorsen.
Well, yeah, because everyone's gone. That counts.
That was actually a positive
there's
one.
That's good for UH. They're going to dominate the conference. There's no Texas. There's no Oklahoma.
This is the point in Family Feud where we go to the judges to see if that counts.
Yeah. Well,
I'll give it to him.
Yeah, I'll give it to him.
That is like legit. Like they got to beat Texas
They'll
Tech.
They'll be good because all the good teams leave. Yeah, sure.
This is Texas Tech's time to shine.
All right, so he was negative against the Texans. He was negative, I like what I've seen, from Davis Mills. He was positive, Longhorns football is back.
Yeah, Texas is back.
Astros win the World Series, negative. Bikes, negative. UH, positive.
Yeah.
You went 2-4. Not bad for your first positive call.
So I lost. I thought I did better than that. I thought I was more positive. No?
I mean, you were on two of them. Congratulations, positive call.
God.
All right,
it's
coming
my therapy.
Up on Vanessa and Gallant, we have more, plus our garbage time segment. You got to hear this between Mad Dog and Stephen A. That's next.
ESPN. 97.5. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, we have a bunch of media availabilities happening right now. You'll hear from Pep Hamilton tomorrow, etc. But right now, Paul noticed something on Twitter from one Steve Sarkisian.
Yes, Steve Sarkisian was asked a bunch of questions about quarterbacks today, and per Anwar Richardson, who covers UT football for OrangeBloods.com.
Vanessa's cousin.
Yes.
What'd you
another,
say?
Another
yes.
Richardson
yes,
family member.
My cousin, yeah. Love you, Anwar. Never met.
Quote, "You guys can keep poking the bear on what I do at quarterback. At the end of the day, I'm not going to give you game planning decisions or how we practice. There's a reason you guys don't come to practice." I have no problem with him operating this way. None. You're going up against a good UTSA team on Saturday. You want to hide whatever possible cards you can hide right
Similar
now.
Similar with this. So, because you didn't have a problem with the depth chart thing either.
No.
Everyone was freaking out about that.
Guess what? You find out once the game begins.
Right.
Why do you need to know it before? Unless you're a degenerate gambler and you want to bet on this game. But, I mean, there are some possibilities for Texas at quarterback. I mean, Roschon Johnson, who's their running back, who I think we saw in a couple of Wildcat packages on Saturday. Like, that's a guy that theoretically could get moved back to quarterback. He was a top, I think he was a four-star quarterback recruit coming out of high school. And you also have, you know, the ability, if you want, to go back to Hudson Card. I'm not going to lie, I'm not the biggest Hudson Card fan, having heard some stories about him in the locker room.
Ooh.
I mean, he did show some chutzpah in that second half. It was just Texas couldn't really move, and he also is hurt. So, look, you're down two quarterbacks, potentially. What's wrong with Steve Sarkisian keeping it close to the vest? I have no issue with it. I don't feel like media members necessarily should have a green light to go to practices either. If these guys want to hide things and they're paranoid about them, let them be paranoid, and we'll find out what happens
Steve
Saturday.
Steve Sarkisian has coached in the NFL twice. Obviously, he had some messiness with some alcohol issues he struggled mm-hmm. with. Everything I've seen from him has been new and improved Steve Sarkisian. I don't know him that well. I've met him. He's very nice. But I think that he's operating at a level that you have to operate at. Excuse me. As the head coach of the Texas Longhorns, he is smart enough to know he does not have the competitive advantage against a lot of the teams that they play. So they need every competitive advantage they can get. I'm with you. I don't mind it at all.
A person on Twitch, by the way, this is E315702. He asks, why would Dusty Baker want to be honest with the media about injuries, kind of piggybacking off this? Do you feel like that's a little bit different based off of what we heard Dusty Baker talking about with Yordan Alvarez?
Well, I think what spices that the Dusty Baker situation up with Yordan is that Yordan wants people. Yordan's like Justin Verlander, because the Astros don't talk about injuries, but Justin had the media availability 2 weeks ago, and he gave his exact diagnosis. He gave the exact timeline, and I have a gut feeling the Astros would not have done that. So that's where it's a little different with Dusty and Yordan, is Yordan wants people, I think, to know that he feels okay.
Plus, Dusty doesn't know which hand is hurt.
Or maybe he does, and they want him to keep it close to the vest.
I have a hard time believing that Dusty Baker is playing like four-dimensional chess with the media. I feel like what you see is kind of what you get with Dusty.
Could
as
be.
Far as what he answers.
You My can't... favorite Dusty story from the last month was when he was out with COVID. And he could not get he couldn't figure out the Peacock broadcast. Remember that one game against the Guardians that was on Peacock? So he watched a Bob Marley documentary and followed the game on his phone.
Yeah, he watched a Bob Marley documentary, all right.
Yeah, that's what he wants you to believe. Yeah. But what does it really mean?
I love watching Bob Marley documentaries. Who doesn't?
I actually love documentaries.
I love Bob Marley.
Yeah, okay. We know, Paul.
I didn't say it. That's illegal in this state, and I would never do something
really?
That would break the law. Oh, yeah, it's very
I don't
illegal.
Smoke it, so I actually wouldn't know.
When I was in Seattle, I lived within a mile of 3 dispensaries, and was like, what? Why are there so many?
So, since you live somewhere where it is legal, does it get to the point to where people just don't even want to do it anymore because the danger is gone?
No. It's amazing. You're actually getting good stuff.
What
it's
am I,
cheap.
Nancy Reagan, just say no.
Yeah, the marijuana.
I've heard through sources, because I would never partake. I've heard through sources that here, when you're paying, I don't know, $60 to $80 for a very menial amount, you're not even sure if the stuff's good. Where in a place where it's legal, you have all the options in the world, and you're paying like a third of the price for the same amount.
When you're buying it from a business, there's a certain guarantee of quality because they have to stay in business. When it's an underground situation,
allegedly,
there's no Better Business Bureau. There's no other competitors. It's
I don't know anything. You could tell me that an ounce is related somehow to ayahuasca. You could give me a bag of cilantro and tell me it's. I mean, I know nothing. I'm not being coy. Like, I actually know nothing about it.
Did DARE not come to your school?
What'd you say?
The DARE program? Did they not come to your school?
I actually listened to Nancy Reagan. Just say no.
Unless it's that.
Yeah.
Open up your mind. Be like Aaron Rodgers.
You guys got to hear about this absolute insanity between Mad Dog, Christopher Mad Dog Russo, who has been making weekly appearances on ESPN, and Stephen A. Mad Dog, for context, said that he would take a certain quarterback over Lamar Jackson.
I did not say he was flawless. What I said is he's better than Kirk Cousins, and you don't need to be mentioning them in the same breath.
Right now.
Are you going to sit up here and say with a straight face that he is?
Life on the line.
Oh, God. Kirk Cousins or Lamar Jackson?
In a big game on
Lamar road. Jackson all day, every day, ahead of Kirk Cousins.
Listen,
is that water check? What are you drinking this morning? If you think that Kirk Cousins is Lamar Jackson.
He's made a lot of money in the
Kirk
NFL.
Kirk Cousins or Lamar Jackson, what's wrong with you?
Please.
So there's a part of me that enjoys this, but the problem is that they have become more like the Saturday Night Live skits making fun of them than the actual two people that they are. I enjoy those two because I enjoy their personalities. I disagree with like everything that they say, though. It's just cartoon characters yelling at each other. It's six
it's
in the
like
morning
before the show
coffee.
The producer says, hey, you're gonna take this stance. I don't care if you believe it or not. You're gonna take the opposite stance. I also do not care whether you believe that or not, and you will argue.
Also, I find myself a lot of times listening to both of them and disagreeing with both of them, even though it's like either one. Like, it's an either-or scenario. I'm like, I don't think I agree with either of them.
I just disagree with your existence on this network.
Stephen A., by the way, is releasing a biography January 23rd.
I would read that as opposed to Emmanuel Acho's book.
No question.
I mean, I bet Stephen A.
Does Emmanuel Acho
book
have
is interesting.
A book?
Yeah, he does. I told you this. I
oh,
saw
you did.
I was hungover coming back from a week in Puerto Rico, and I saw that, and it made me more hungover.
We should power rank recent releases of media people's books. We should just power rank. Like, would you read this?
You guys, I saw.
You know what?
I was looking at my bookshelf the other day, and I noticed Pass It On by Deshaun Watson. I'm not sure what to do with it.
Pass It On.
Hey.
Wow. That's.
Speaking of people releasing books.
I didn't know he had a book.
Yeah,
he released a book.
He sent one to every media member.
Did the book come out before?
Oh, yeah, like 2 years before.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he didn't release a book after, Paul.
Well, I mean, that would be real.
I feel like we would have talked about it.
Right.
If he released
the book after, I mean, he would have made a bleep ton of money.
That's true.
Enough to pay Rusty Harden for all the legal expenses, possibly. Maybe I'll buy the Emmanuel Acho book.
You shouldn't.
You know
we'll
what? Actually, hang on. At some point, if we have some sort of big disagreement or some sort of bet that we have that has to be paid off, that will be my
punishment. Is reading.
I will read the full Emmanuel Acho book, and I will do a book report on it.
I love that.
I'll do it online. It'll be a
10-minute
book report.
You have to try to be positive and nice about it.
No, that's
that
not.
That is going to be the better
that's
part.
Not happening,
All
no.
right, coming
Absolutely
up
not.
Right now, garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is God.
I'm going to stand on my innocence.
It was called Pass It On, I think, wasn't it? By Deshaun Watson.
I've never assaulted anyone, disrespected anyone, or dishonored anyone.
It was called Pass It On, Hard Work, Serve Others, Hard. Repeat. Hmm. It was published September 8th, 2020.
Published, huh?
Yeah. All right. Well, University of Utah is investigating two female students who wore body paint as tops to the football game. Photos of the women show the body paint appeared to be applied to depict tank tops adorned with a red U.
I don't want to investigate this further. I feel like...
Did you investigate it yourself? Did
I
you
mean,
do a little Google
based
search?
Based off of the pictures that they were showing, it was like it looked like... I mean, it's very hard to determine what... anything about them. Like the faces were blurred out, and I mean, looking at them, I mean, it looked like it could have been any shirtless fan at a sports game.
This didn't work out for me. I just Googled two topless girls. Let me do
wow.
Utah.
HR.
Okay.
HR.
No, Utah. Now I'm seeing it.
HRMP.
Utah topless girls is what you looked up?
Is this actually illegal? That's my, like, them not
so.
Wearing tops
especially
to a game?
Especially in Utah, you would think, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It could be like drawn and quartered and more in Utah for that. I mean, it's not quite like having a sip of alcohol or caffeine,
right?
But it's
the fan who busted the narc was Melina Johnson, who posted on Instagram that security personnel allowed, and then in all caps, two topless girls to enter the stadium gate. Security guards just stared and let them walk by.
Well, I mean, are you really going to say
Is this literally what our world is coming to? She would go on to write.
Well, a guy can go shirtless.
Oh yeah, they're definitely shirtless.
Yeah, a guy can go shirtless. Why can't a girl go shirtless?
Paul, that's the most empowering thing you've said since. Oh yeah, when you said Robert Sarver shouldn't be removed as an owner for his.
Misogynistic
comments.
I feel like their comments. Like if you're going to remove him from being an owner, I feel like you got to have a little bit more than that.
Gigi Hadid is making history. She is 27 years old. And is dating Leonardo DiCaprio. If you're not familiar, Leonardo DiCaprio has dated like 10 women in the past couple of years, and he's broken up with all of them as soon as they turn 25. Shout out to Gigi.
Birthday weeks are annoying. I mean, what can I say?
All I have to add is, A, good for Leonardo DiCaprio. There's only a 20-year age difference.
And, there you go.
And I share the exact same birthday with Gigi Hadid.
Do you really?
I think she's just 1 year older than me.
Wow, you're April what?
April 23rd.
There you go.
Maybe you guys could be something.
Yeah. I'll
matching signs.
The article said that Leo and Gigi Hadid are not exclusive. So
There's
my opening right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, the article says they were seen cozying up in public. But still, for him to cozy up with somebody
cozy
so old,
up,
what are you going to do?
An old lady.
An old lady, I know.
And she has a kid. Ugh.
Oh, does she really have a kid?
Yeah, it's also in the article.
There you go. Sean,
I perused that article very well.
He reads. All right, coming up on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, you got the Killer Bees from 12 to 3. Have a good day, guys.
Peace.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.